The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
This is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Good morning. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How you doing today?
Very good. How are you?
Very good.
2 weeks in a row, we have Bill Kelly, certified residential appraiser with John A. Ruddy Appraisal Company. Hello.
Hello, Jackie. Hello, Pat.
Hello.
Thanks for coming back with us. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we discuss real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been guiding, advising, and assisting clients in real estate matters for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or if you'd like to suggest a topic, if you're a small business owner or something to do with real estate, send it in to us. We can talk. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click on the Dunmore Corners Live webcam tab. I hear there's some big construction coming to the corners. So you might want to keep an eye on that. I think we're going to have a bird's eye view.
Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to mobilefriendlyjruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Bill Kelly, certified residential appraiser. You went to a lot of school and studied a long time to be able to be called a certified residential appraiser. How long have you been appraising property, please?
I've been a certified appraiser in Pennsylvania for 5 years now.
And you studied?
For approximately 10 years leading in. I was an apprentice for a couple local appraisers.
So you've been doing this for about 15 years?
Yep, 15 years.
Okay, so that's a lot of appraisals under your belt.
Correct.
All right. You go to many different areas. You're not only a Lackawanna County certified residential appraiser, you appraise in different counties. Would you list those for me now?
Sure. I do Lackawanna County. I do Luzerne County, Monroe County, Pike County, Wayne County, and a portion of Carbon County. I can do appraisals for any type of transaction, tax appeals, any type of a bank transaction, divorce, personal reasons, just to check and see what your home is worth. I can do an appraisal for any purpose you have.
And estates.
Yes.
Estate appraisals, right, which often people need.
Right, refinancing, whatever.
Okay. So, last week we spent a good amount of time on appraisals and how you arrive at appraised value, which sometimes is different than what a buyer is willing to pay for a property, and sometimes it's different than a real estate broker or agent's perspective as well. Oftentimes differs from the homeowner when the homeowner thinks that their property is valued higher than maybe what you're coming in. But you explained how you break it down, what you're looking at, and of course you don't have the emotional attachment to it, and you're able to give an objective and professional, because you've had 15 years under your belt, viewpoint here. So oftentimes, though, we go into situations where an appraiser has been to the property, or two appraisers have been to a property prior to us coming out to list the property, and there's two different values. So there's not an exact mathematical algorithm that you use.
No, an appraisal is an opinion of value, and I guess every appraiser is going to have a little bit of variance on what they can or what they do to get to their value. Many times a lender dictates how you would get to value by their criteria of their search criteria for the comparable sales.
All right. So from oftentimes we're brought to a property before the homeowner wants to sell it, and they ask us our opinion as to what they should do to update their home in order to receive the most money for the sale. So there is information I pulled off Pennsylvania Association of Realtors, and it talked about remodels to avoid. Even if you're not thinking about selling a home right this minute, but down the road, there are some remodeling projects to avoid. One would be luxury rooms. The second on this list is a swimming pool. Number third, I mean, this should be common sense, but gaudy accents. But some people like gold-plated crown molding. changes to areas, contrary to area standards. In other words, if you have a three-bedroom home, but you take down that middle wall between two bedrooms to make a really
large... Make one really big.
Large master bedroom. I mean, you can do that, and it's a quality of life improvement, but a buyer may have a problem with it being reduced to two bedrooms, and it might actually devalue the home. And then remodels that pay, this is, of course, according to the Pennsylvania...
This is the portion that people pay more attention to.
So, steel doors... And a garage door will help someone recover. The garage door replacement has a return on investment at 98.3%, and that's the highest return on investment. They're also saying solar panels would be a remodel that would pay. New siding and broadband access. That's important to a lot of people out there today. So my personal opinion is Wi-Fi should be a law. Everywhere I go, there should be Wi-Fi available.
Yeah, I agree.
But how often it is not.
It's amazing. Lots of places.
It's amazing.
Now, I was talking about there was a big return on solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big investment. Those are very expensive. I mean, I've looked into them. So.
Yes. They are a huge investment, but the cost has been coming down.
Okay. And it's always paying. I mean, your electric bill will be... You can actually make money because you can sell some money. You can sell some of it back to the electric company, so...
And siding, it's that'll recoup about 80% of the initial cost, according to this.
I can think of some houses that could use some siding that would really improve their value.
Right. So, and then, you know, of course you have flooring, and flooring's huge. And sometimes when we go into a property to list it or to get our opinion as to what, it, you know, these updates that they should do, a lot of times people are willing to replace the flooring and put new carpeting in. But when we go to list it, I'll get a sheet. Oh, this is what we did. Oh, we put all new carpeting in first and second floor, and it cost $7,000. And they want to add that into their list price, that whole $7,000. But hardwood floors seem to be the rage. Buyers want hardwood floors. So is that new carpeting, that's specific to that property owner. That doesn't necessarily translate into value, even though it's brand new and you walk in and you can clearly tell that it's brand new.
Yeah, well, I guess all those are just relating to what the buyer expects and what they would demand from a particular property. And who wouldn't want to walk in on new carpet? So now it's just considered to be there.
So, but as an appraiser, you don't necessarily take that into account dollar for dollar, can you?
Or carpet is a... It's a short-term depreciation product, and it's supposed to be changed every X amount of years. So it's more of a necessity to upgrade your carpet once.
What about maintenance items like a brand new roof, a brand new furnace?
Yeah, they're bigger items, and that would definitely more sway the effective age of a property. A property has an actual age based on when it was built, and it also has an effective age, and the effective age is how old the property feels. And if you've got a fresh boiler and you've got a new roof and good siding and windows, you can have a 130-year-old home that feels like it's maybe 10 years old. So the effective age comes into condition rating and is a very big part of the valuation process.
So it can translate into a higher value in the end.
Absolutely. A buyer will pay more money for a property that's properly upgraded.
Many buyers today want turnkey. And so they want to go in. They don't want to do anything. They want to have a ready-to-live-in home, and they're willing to pay. So if, from an appraisal standpoint, an appraiser's standpoint, would you say for people that own property out there that are thinking about selling, maybe fresh updates in what rooms and what kind of updates? Kitchen and baths, are they the most important?
Yeah, kitchens and baths are most costly, number one, and they are most important that buyers will demand to have the right kitchen, the right bathroom when they get a property.
You were talking about a house in Scranton that had this, and that, and you were saying it has a wonderful kitchen. You know the one we were talking about. It has a wonderful kitchen. How much would something like that add to value?
It's an unwritten thing. It's more about a buyer-seller thing, and it's more about the agent listing it at a certain number, and it's no way to make an adjustment for having the kitchen of all kitchens. There's just no way, but it will kind of lean you into a search of comparable properties that have similar features.
How do you feel about drive-by appraisals? Do the lenders still ask?
What is that? How can you do that?
I guess
what like a drive-by shooting? What is a drive-by appraisal?
It's similar. It's similar. The only problem is they're shooting back.
Nowadays, they're chasing you. They chase you down the block. Who is that guy?
The drive-by appraisal, I guess, kind of nowadays is used by some of the banks, and they don't want to lose their clients. So they're willing to, and this is just my perception of it, is they're willing to pay for a drive-by appraisal or an appraisal, and the drive-by obviously is a little cheaper, in order to try to set up a home equity with their actual client who they have right now a mortgage with. So they're basically going to go out and peek at value and say, hey, you know, you got about room for another 20 on your home equity. Would you kindly consider taking that? So they're willing to take the risk and pay for a drive-by, but to serve the home equity, but it's not a good product in the Northeast Pennsylvania.
Well, no, because it could be deceiving, not only in size, but improvements within. And how would you be able to? You can't. You didn't go in.
Again, the assessment was done in the 60s, not since. So you don't actually know what's inside of a home in Lackawanna County until you actually
walk
in the home.
You're really not doing it justice, the consumer or the bank or yourself. And nobody wins in that kind of situation, right? Which brings us to another new event that's occurring out there. There are some lenders that are offering a waiver where a consumer, a buyer, can waive an appraisal.
Yeah, I've seen some of that lately where if, I guess, your credit score is at a certain point and the LTV is at a certain point, you can sign a waiver where you don't want to get an appraisal. To me, that makes absolutely no sense on a 30-year or a 20-year mortgage to not spend, say, $500 on an appraisal to protect your $300,000 or whatever the number may be investment.
Okay, you mentioned LTV in there. What was LTV again?
Loan-to-value ratio.
So how does that work?
That works when they would know the loan value versus
the actual. So like I got 90%. Okay, all right, I got
right. You. 80-20 was the cardinal rule years ago. You would have a 20% down payment. And you would borrow 80% on a 30-year mortgage. Nowadays, they're loaning up to 100% on a home.
I want to talk to you about square feet, because square footage, livable, lower level.
That's square footage.
And third floor, like a finished attic. Do you value that at the same rate, first and second floor?
Well, first things, it would be GLA is gross living area, and that standard means it must be above grade on that whole level. So it can't be part of your basement is never considered GLA if it's underground at any portion.
But
it's considered square footage.
But there's two extra bedrooms down there and a third bathroom.
It's finished basement square footage. It does get value, but it doesn't get value at the rate the actual GLA, which is based on other
above grade living area.
Gross living area.
Okay. So a lot of times I know that I have a discussion with people that own a property that are looking to sell it, and they want it reflected that it has so many bedrooms and so much square footage, but I'm unable to do that because of what you just
described.
Yeah,
the GLA is based on ANSI standards, and they're not actually bedrooms in the basement. They're just not.
But it has a closet.
It can be used as a bedroom. You can utilize it as that, but it's not actually a bedroom.
Mm-hmm. So you
know, that's really tough explaining that to
it's
people.
It's very, very
people
difficult.
People have said, you know, my son has lived down there for the past 15 years. We've never had a drop of water. That's his bedroom down there.
There's a closet.
There's a closet.
There's walls. There's floors.
There's a bathroom.
Heated.
It's everything.
Yes.
Most of those properties were done prior to, like, zoning in cities and townships and boroughs.
Right, but they wanted to be included.
If you see a new construction property and they're going to finish the basement, if you really take a look at the window wells and the egress and the ingress to get in and out of those properties, it's totally different
that's what
you would see at a house that was built in the
30s. That's what it comes down to. It comes down to a safety concern.
You wouldn't want to try to get out.
What if there's a fire and the stairway is blocked and you're in the basement? What are you going to do?
Right.
You have to have a way out. So,
but it's, and I'm not being oppositional with that property owner. I feel what they're trying. I understand what they want to do, but this is the way it is. And it's hard driving that point home.
It's probably better off up being above in the attic, like you said, it's either the basement or the attic. The attic does, you know, it could be heated just by gravity of the first and second floor on these older homes in the Northeast Corridor of Pennsylvania. I mean, FHA standards would mean each room's got to have heat, but conventional mortgage, it could just be heated by the first and second floor because, as we all know, heat does rise.
Right. Okay, so now you're up in the attic and you walk through a room to get to another room, and that middle room might have a closet, but you wouldn't consider that a bedroom.
No, once there's a pass through any room to get to a room via getting to a bathroom, it becomes a den. Or, I mean, you can utilize it for whatever you choose, an ironing room or a bedroom or sleep in it. That doesn't matter. But to actually put it down in bedroom count, no.
You can't do that.
No.
And, but so, you know, 30 years ago, it was a bedroom and three people slept there.
Right.
And that's only what that person knows that owns that property. So it sometimes is...
Yeah, they just don't understand. If you walk through it to get to another room, it's not a bedroom.
Yep. Okay, so do you add more value to a finished third floor as opposed to a finished lower level?
Well, finished third floor could come out as GLA, and by rights, that would probably in most cases come out to be more value than the line adjustment for finished basement square footage. So, yes.
Okay, so that's fair enough. Okay. With us today is Bill Kelly, certified residential appraiser with John A. Ruddy Appraisal Company. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
I can be reached at jruddy.com and my email, which is wkelly312@comcast.net, or I can be reached via the landline, which is 570-471-3204.
Thank you, Bill. Pat?
Yes, we have a lovely three-bedroom home at 552 Green Street in Duryea for $125,000. This home is loaded with charm. It has beautiful hardwood floors and lots of natural woodwork throughout the home. It has very low taxes of less than $1,400 a year. This home is affordable for a first-time buyer, but yet there is room to grow. It's located on a quiet street with off-street parking, a private backyard, a storage shed, and beautiful landscaping. That's a beautiful three-bedroom home at 552 Green Street in Duryea for $125,000, and it's listed by Gail Lewis of our office.
Thank you, Pat. Greater Scranton Board of Realtors.
Statistics
for single...
This is my favorite part.
Single-family homes. What are the price ranges that have seen an increase? We have, year-to-date, the $60,000 to $70,000 price range, which has increased, year-to-date, 26.2%. The $200,000 to $249,900 price range increased 47.8%. The $250,000 to $299,900 price range increased 78%.
Wow.
The
$300,000
to $399,900 price range increased 28.4%. And the $400,000 to the $500,000 price range increased 64.3%. Yeah, that's bouncing back. Number of sold single-family homes year-to-date is up 1.7%.
Just up 1.7%?
That's it. And the number of pending sales is up 5.3% year-to-date. Now, pending doesn't always mean it's going to
close. No, they don't always go through. You know, because the appraisers killed the deal. Did I say that? Sorry about that.
Number of active listings are up 9.9% year-to-date, but the number of new listings is down 5.7%. So we're headed towards a break.
Sorry, Bill. We don't mean to call you a deal killer. I'm sorry.
No.
I can't help it.
No. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We'll be right back.
What can a Century 21 agent do for you? They show your home, solve your problems, and pet your dog. They provide the service of a butler and the savvy of a business tycoon. They explain the market, love a good barbecue, and never drink milk from the carton, so invite one over. They do your homework, legwork, and sometimes yard work. Basically, they provide some TLC to YOU. This is who they are. This is what they do. Century 21 agents. Smarter, bolder, faster. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, you have questions, we have answers.
Thinking of buying or selling a house and have questions? Tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable hosted by locally owned and operated Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on Saturday mornings at 11 and Sunday mornings at 11:30.
Call 570-344-6724. Or visit jruddy.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
And we're back. I'm sorry, Bill. You're not a deal killer. I shouldn't have said that. I just can't help myself. It's just the way realtors view appraisers. It's kind of like it's kind of adversarial.
Well, with a smartphone and a Zillow, isn't everybody an appraiser?
Yeah.
Why
really?
Are you being so
why did you
to
go
me?
To school for like 15 years? Yeah. Really? That's a waste of time.
There's a fellow realtor out there that actually, in talking to her, she says that all her clients are experts.
Yes, they are. Everyone's an expert.
Yes. Yes.
So for her.
They sell one house in 10 years. They're an expert.
With us today is Bill Kelly, certified residential appraiser with John A. Ruddy Appraisal Company. And we're having a fabulous discussion today regarding appraisals. And it's often these discussions that we have on air are often discussions that we find ourselves in at someone's kitchen table. And you're helping us sort out the difference between appraised value, market value, and owner's opinion of value. So I thought we'd talk about, for the last half of the show, FHA appraisals, how they differ from a conventional appraisal.
What does FHA stand for?
Federal Housing Administration.
Really? And why would that loan be different from a conventional loan?
A conventional mortgage is one that's Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac type of mortgage that you go to a regular bank and get. FHA, some of the banks do offer FHA loans, but the type of buyer comes up with a less down payment, and are able to get a seller's assist. That's the portion on top of the sales price that they're allowed to receive back.
They could borrow that money
towards their closing costs. It's a credit at time of closing, but that's actually going to calculate in the amount of their mortgage.
Oh, so I can buy a house with less money down with an FHA loan.
Right, and there's a lot of FHA mortgages out there, and it seems that at least half of our transactions are FHA. So from an FHA appraisal standpoint, and we have the appraiser here that does FHA appraisals.
They're different appraisals, I would guess, for an FHA loan versus a conventional loan. Say I had 20% to put down on a conventional loan.
Yeah, the appraisal is different. The standards are a little higher for FHA. I don't know if it should be, but they are. What FHA is generally looking for is to be ensuring that they don't incur lawsuits, especially over a three-year window of time. It's the first 3 years that are most vital to FHA. So the roof on the property would have to show that it will last for at least 3 years. Other than that, they're looking at safety hazards so no one can get hurt. So most stairs need to have handrails or walls in place. Paint from prior to 1978 had lead in it, and that must not be chipping and falling throughout the property, which is, it's very repetitious. You can clean your paint and do it all up nice, and then with the lead in it, within 6 months, 8 months, it's back doing exactly what it was ahead of time. And any type of like broken windows, anything that would incur safety and health hazard is what FHA is mostly looking at nowadays.
But you just said you're looking for the age of a roof with an FHA loan. Now, you're going to make a loan from the same bank, but it'll be conventional. You're not going to be looking at that stuff. You wouldn't be looking at handrails and the age of the roof. That stuff, it
doesn't make a lot of sense to me either. I mean, health and safety of any type of an occupant was very big to me. So if anything is standing out in a conventional loan that it looks like somebody, like say your aunt is up on the second floor and can fall off of a porch or whatnot because there's no railing, I would definitely suggest that the lender have that replaced prior to closing. So health and safety is a very big topic nowadays in general.
So I had a property, one of our agents put under contract. Construction age was 2005, and there was chipping paint, and it was a VA, Veterans Administration loan. Appraiser came in, said it was defected paint, had to be scraped, painted, vacuumed up, and primed and painted. Now, it wasn't prior to 1978, but it still had chipping paint, and it was called for.
Makes no sense to me whatsoever. At some point in time, you have to be a professional and know what you're dealing with. And if something was built after 1970, you can almost see the difference in the paint as just as a regular human. So
okay, what about if you have a shed on the property, it's 30, 40 feet from the house, the residence, and there is defective paint?
Sure, that should be cleaned up because you could have children or anybody can be out there and they can incur contact with the paint. So
and
if it's part of
the
property,
garage,
it's absolutely.
Everything that has peeling paint.
It's sad but true. The most common place you'll see it is where they replace the windows around the window trims. And it looks like it's kind of bizarre when an appraiser calls for paint to be scraped on the second floor and in between two houses where there's 5 foot of working room. But it's peeling paint and it could fall and someone could eat it. And
so outside...
Yeah.
Inside,
yeah.
Radiators have peeling paint oftentimes, and so windowsills inside, outside, they have peeling paint usually on homes with the wood trim. So these are items that we get to deal with during
the
course.
Federal Housing Administration has come up with these rules, and we must adhere to them if you want an FHA loan.
What's your take on knob and tube wiring as an appraiser for FHA?
Well,
conventional VA.
There's not much knob and tube left in the area. It's very rare that you'll see it. But the wiring should, all outlets should work, and everything should be working order, and all appliances should be worked and checked. So if not, then you would just refer it back to that.
And the outlets by sinks in the kitchen and baths?
They should be GFI protected. I believe they've lifted that waiver as far as calling that to be a repair. I don't think that needs to be nowadays.
Okay, and then in the lower level, in the unfinished basement specifically, the area there, what are you looking at?
Down in the basement, a lot of times they'll be looking at these foundations, especially in the mountains here in Northeast PA, bringing on a little bit of water. There's often a lot of the foundations were painted years ago, so there could be peeling paint there. Also, the water heaters should have an extension on them now to prevent scalding. It's like a blow-off pipe valve, and it should go down to about 4 inches from the floor.
How about the steam pipes?
Asbestos?
Yeah, they could be asbestos-wrapped. If that's the case, you need to properly either enclose the asbestos with another type of wrapping, I believe, is available at your local hardware store, or you should properly remove it, and dispose of it. The asbestos wrap on the big 4-inch gas cast iron pipes.
Okay. All right. And utilities. So someone already moved out of the house and they purchased a house in another area. Winter's coming upon us. They winterize the home. As an appraiser, can you do an appraisal?
Yes, you can do the appraisal, but most lenders, including FHA, definitely when you take pictures of the kitchen, they don't mind if the lights and the water are running. And they would definitely want a statement that the utilities were on and operating. And if not, you would be coming back. You would be doing an appraisal subject to the proper operation of all the utilities. So you'd come back out for a second inspection. And God knows, everybody in the buyer world does not like second inspections.
Okay. And along those lines, if you did call for repairs as an appraiser to bring it up to the FHA guidelines, you would have to go back to make sure that those repairs and items were taken care of prior to settlement.
Yeah, generally the appraisal is done subject to the completion of the repairs, and then you're relying on the conveyance of that message back to the listing agent and the seller, and then they would go about, and many times nowadays the buyer absorbs that cost for whatever reason, and those repairs would get completed, and then the lender would recontact me or the appraiser, and we would come back out and verify that it is now up to code.
Okay. Thank you, Bill Kelly, Certified Residential Appraiser with John A. Ready Appraisal Company, and your contact info.
It is wkelly312@comcast.net, as well as 570-471-3204.
Pat, would you like to review a listing?
Yes, we have a well-kept two-bedroom ranch-style home at 1055 North Garfield Avenue in Scranton for only $87,000. This home sits on a flat corner lot with a built-in garage and a large rear deck. This home has a new garage door, a new water heater, a newer roof. It has replacement windows. This home has a lot of curb appeal. If you're looking to downsize or if you need everything on one level, this might be the home for you. That's a two-bedroom ranch-style home on a corner lot with a built-in garage at 1055 North Garfield Avenue in Scranton for only $87,000, and that's listed by Karen Kashuba of our office.
Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker.